Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
You know, people ask us from time to time, you run those announcements for donating cars on the radio. Does anybody ever do that?
They do.
I was really surprised. I was skeptical. We've been doing it for several years now, and I thought, well, we started it. Okay, fine. We'll run the announcements. If nobody calls, nobody calls. Big deal. People call.
They do.
I think we're probably approaching, I would think, $20,000 worth of cars. Now,
really?
Now, they're not, you know, last year's Cadillacs. We're not expecting that. A lot of them don't run. A lot of them are sold for salvage.
And, you know, that's the misconception, is they don't have to run.
No, I mean, if it does, that's fine. And one of two things will happen with them. We'll send people out to pick them up. If it is drivable, we'll send an extra driver out to drive the car back. Or we'll send a tow truck out, whatever it takes. And then it will be either sold at auction or salvage. And either way, it generates some cash. Either way, cash flows to Catholic Radio. And either way, you get a receipt for your taxes for what it sold for. And you don't have to look at it anymore. You don't have to.
And your neighbors don't have to look at it.
You don't have
anymore.
To buy another license plate for it. You don't have to pay for insurance on it again. So if you find yourself in that situation with a car, truck, boat, motorcycle, RV, anything that has a title, it's really easy. You can visit our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, CatholicRadioIndy.org. There's a big button there that says donate your car, and it's a simple fill in the form, push the button, and it's all over.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Ken O'Gorick. He's the Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Always a pleasure to spend time with the two of you and all of your great listeners. in that order. No, just kidding.
You know, listeners, this show came about directly because of you. We sent out that survey right about the end of last year with the year-end letter.
Right.
And we not only got comments about the shows, and constructive criticism and all kinds of interesting little notes. We read every single letter, and with many of them came a question. Mm-hmm. Would you do a show on this? Would you explain this a little bit better? What about this teaching of the church? And we started accumulating so many questions that I thought, Ken O'Gorick, we need to have a show called Ask a Catechist. You know, my favorite is Stump a Priest. I mean, I would just let's get a priest in here and put him on the hot seat and ask him everything.
Well, we really had one person who responded that had a very good question. I know it's one of the ones you're going to ask Ken, so I won't mention it right now, but the way the person worded it was so careful. You know, a lot of times when you have a question, if you ask it real simply, well, maybe there's a yes or no, but if you put a couple of qualifying phrases ahead of that
I do have to thank this listener, because the very first question that came in was so thoughtful and so provocative. We didn't know it was going to be the first of many, many questions. So we just compiled a list and said, Ken, come on down. So we're just going to go through them, listeners. And you know, this may be something that we end up doing quarterly. Sure. So listeners, if you're listening, you think, yeah, I've thought about that too. Or maybe this kind of strikes a chord. I have another question. Jot it down, call us, and we'll do our best to get
you. Can leave us a note on the website, several different ways as well. This is kind of like a local edition of Catholic Answers Live.
There you go. But first, Kent, tell us, for many of our listeners, of course, you've been a recurring guest. You've been a guest several times. But maybe one of our listeners doesn't know that you're married with seven kids and lives on the... No. So tell us about
your
family.
From the look on his face, he doesn't either.
Tell us about your family, how many kids, and what parish you belong to.
Sure. Actually, Melissa and I are coming up on our 25th year of marriage this year,
goodness.
Which is always, you know, a happy milestone. I would say we've had 24 years of happy marriage, one for Melissa and 23 for me. No, I'm just kidding.
I like that twist.
We've been blessed with three children, and
St. Joan of Arc, or we're
actually we are a St. Pius the
Tenth
family.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, and Father Jim Farrell.
Yeah, that Father Jim is my pastor, and so yeah, we have a college student, a high school student, and a junior high student.
Oh my goodness!
So we're sort of, you know,
covered all the bases.
Yeah, life is good, and I'm more blessed than I deserve.
And you've been with the Archdiocese for how long?
Coming up on 10 years.
10 years.
Actually.
Oh,
speaking of
my
anniversaries,
goodness.
Yeah.
Because Catholic Radio has been here for about 13 years now.
Yeah.
And I remember when you first came, we made it a point to get you on right away. And we've had you on a bunch
sure,
of times
sure.
since.
And I listen all the time. You know what a fan and supporter
great.
I am.
We appreciate
of Catholic
that.
Radio. So.
Well, I'm just going to jump in with the very first question.
Okay.
I thought this was a great question, and you hear this a lot. This comes up a lot at cocktail party conversations. So here you go. How do other religions fit into God's salvific plan? For instance, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucians, Muslims, are these religions wrong, in quotes? Can they still go to heaven? Because many that I mentioned don't have baptism in them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are they all covered by baptism by desire? Do we even still teach that? Because they don't eat of my body and drink of my blood.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the very first questions, and I thought it was worded very carefully, very respectfully, and yet, you know, depending on how you approach it, I mean, we've been, you know, I grew up definitely with a baptism by desire that everyone had to be baptized. So, so how would you answer that? How would you approach that?
I would start with a real quick preface that really applies to all these questions, if I may. I think it's important to remember that God speaks to us in the teaching of His church. So I would just encourage our listeners, you know, whatever question we're exploring, really listen for what God might be saying to you personally. And hopefully you'll hear what He's saying to you in the teaching of His church, and then continue that conversation in prayer, in that prayerful dialogue you have with God. So that's a preface, not a disclaimer. But so when it comes to folks who believe this, that, and the other thing, I like to use this analogy. Imagine that three different people are looking at an American flag. Okay, can you picture an American flag your head?
Yeah.
So the first person says, there are red and white stripes on that flag, okay? The second person says, there are red and white stripes on that flag and also some purple stripes too, okay? And it's the same flag. We all know what an American flag looks like. And the third person says, there are red and white stripes, a field of blue, and 50 white stars, okay? Three different people looking at the exact same thing. So the first person who said there are red and white stripes on that flag, is that person saying something true?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a true statement, okay? The second person who says there are red and white stripes on that flag and also purple stripes as well, is that person saying something true?
Not entirely.
I don't know that the purple, but it's a blend maybe of the blue and the red.
So part of what they're saying is true, but it's intermingled with some with some things that aren't true. The third person, what would you say about their description? Red and white stripes, blue field, 50 white stars. Is it true?
The fullness.
Okay, there you go. See, hey, you must be Catholic, okay? So truth is truth no matter who says it. So a Buddhist, for example, might say that life always involves suffering. Is that true? Of course it is. It isn't false just because a Buddhist said it, okay? But Buddhism would also teach, some things that aren't true, you know, in the same way that you know, a person would say there are purple stripes, okay? Then we might look at some of our separated brethren, our fellow Christians, you know. A Lutheran, for example, might say, you know, God is merciful and God wants to forgive our sins. That's certainly true. But a Lutheran wouldn't go on to say, sort of in a more full way, that you know, the ordinary means of addressing post-baptismal sin in our life is the sacrament of penance, okay? As Catholics, we like that term fullness of truth because God has blessed us with a fullness of truth, okay? So that was a multi-layered question. But I think that analogy is helpful for us in understanding people who believe other things than we do now. As far as who's going to end up in heaven and so forth,
right.
You know, I would say, you know, one of the most important things in every person's life is to seek the truth sincerely. Okay, the truth isn't something we make up, right? The truth is, you know, what's true is true outside of you and I, you know, and we need to seek the truth with a sincere heart, and God will sort all that out, you know, in the end. But as Catholics, we know we're blessed with the fullness of truth, not because we're better than anyone else or smarter than anyone else. You know, God gives us that fullness of truth so that we can share it with the world.
You know, you as you were explaining it, it kind of is reminiscent of the book by Saint Pope John Paul the Great, the Second, The Threshold, mm-hmm. Crossing the Threshold mm-hmm. of Hope. In there, he says, he talks about many different religions
yeah.
and saying, and he does say that each of them have a portion, there a little bit of sure. truth in each one.
Sure.
But he also reiterates what you just said, that we have the fullness of truth, but none of the religions, he went so far as to say, none of them are all wrong. I mean, there is a portion,
yeah.
there is a sliver, and some are whiter and fatter
yeah,
than
I,
others.
Yeah, I would say among the major religions of yeah. the world especially. So it's incumbent upon Catholics to not only know the teaching of the church ourselves, but also to share that with folks that we meet, so that in their sincere search for truth, they will have this fullness of truth, you know, at their disposal. And I don't mind saying that Catholic Radio is very helpful in that regard. So okay. that's a good way of addressing that
Gosh,
question.
I think we need to take a break. I still have so many more questions.
Sure.
We'll need to take a break, and we'll be right
sure.
back.
Sure.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Ken O'Gorick, Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We talked in the first half a little bit about a question that a listener, had posited and sent back on the survey, the end-of-year survey. We have several more from listeners. You know, I just wanted to button up the first one with, we talked about the salvific plan and the opportunities for people who are not Catholic. Mm-hmm. The one little piece that we didn't address is, do we still, to tell us what baptism by desire is?
Well, that would be when a person knows what baptism is, knows how important baptism is on the way to being baptized, sometimes literally. You could be crossing the street, you know, on the night of the Easter Vigil. And if that person were to die somehow before actually celebrating the sacrament of baptism, then we do believe that, you know, God in his mercy, knows what that person's intentions were. And so that's one way of understanding, and hopefully that's, you know, I hope I'm passing the test here.
But, well, it sounds like G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis. Chesterton said that C.S. Lewis was a Catholic by desire.
Yeah.
He didn't quite make all the, didn't quite cross the T's and dot the I's, but by desire he was.
Sure.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, and this was interesting, there was a Criterion article not too long ago about chalk.
Uh-huh.
And some letters and dates that can be written on your front door. And I wonder if you could explain that a little bit more. I saw that there were actually two meanings for the letters. The date, the numbers about
sure.
is the same. But tell us what that signifies. Is that from a particular country, or is that a Catholic custom? What is that? What did tell us?
Yeah, it's a Catholic custom, it is done typically on the Feast of the Epiphany. We know what that is. Of course, the wise men from the East came to visit the child Jesus, the newborn king. So the numbers and letters that you'll see the first two numbers of the year it is. So this would be 20 in our case. And then you see plus C plus M plus B, which though these aren't in sacred scripture, but traditionally we assign the number 3 to the number of wise men, and each of them has a name, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, okay? And then plus whatever the final two numbers of the year are. So in this case, it would be 17. So it would be 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 17. And my poor freshman daughter probably thinks that sounds like an algebra equation from purgatory. But the point would be, so that tradition is a way of, in a sense, it combines a celebration of the Epiphany and Christ's manifestation, you know, to the world with our very human desire to kick off the new year, you know, on a hopeful and prayerful note. And this is actually kind of a good opportunity probably to point out to folks that, you know, there are some very reliable places that we can go for answers to these sort of questions as well, right? Your Catholic Answers, your EWTN has a great Q&A section, Catholics United for the Faith. So I just wanted to sort of work that in as well. But it's a reminder, I think, also that, you know, as Jesus was ascending to the Father, one of the things he said was that, yeah, I'm with you always.
Yes.
So it kicks off the new year with reminding us, you know what, God, the Lord is with us in 2017.
Just a question popped into my mind. I know MJ's got some more questions, but can your job at the Archdiocese, you obviously know all of this stuff, you're well schooled in all of this stuff, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't.
We'll find
stand,
out.
You don't stand on the street corner preaching this. What do you do on an everyday basis?
Every day is different for me. One of the main groups of people that I work with are the people who run our parish catechetical programs in our 130 parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my work has to do with work, you know, helping these folks lead parish catechetical programs that are effective and so forth.
Recommend curriculum.
Yeah. Really anything that goes into running a program and providing teaching from womb to tomb. So truly every day is different. You know, today I had a meeting with a pastor in the morning who wanted to sort of, he had heard about a topic that I had addressed at one of the gatherings of the parish catechetical years, and he wanted to kind of share with me some of his thoughts on it. I had lunch with a couple of sales representatives who sell catechetical resources of various sorts. They wanted to kind of make sure I was up to speed on the latest resources. And now here I am sitting in the palatial Catholic Radio Indy studios.
Love
the jacuzzi, by the way.
Put your glass of wine down. We'll continue.
Which all happen to be housed in a space about the size of a very small ranch house.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought of a question. I don't want to put you on the spot, but this is such a good one. Because I thought, you know, we say the prayer to the Holy Spirit before we start the show, and this one I think is it. I'm just going to put it out there, Ken. last night in RCIA, we have, and we have people from all different faiths and journey and background and paths that come to RCIA. And this young woman has really struggled with the process. But in talking to her, I told her a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, you are just a, you're already a Catholic and you don't even know it. She is so, she has such depth and her questions are so deep. And we usually at RCIA teach to, you know, the lowest common denominator, because it's just, we just want to scratch the surface. And then when you graduate, then, you know, you can delve in more. But so we just want to kind of bring you to the water, if you will. So last night she asked something and I thought, oh, I wish I had time. I made a, an appointment with her to grab coffee because it couldn't be covered in a couple minutes. But I wonder if you could address this. She said, I don't know if the Catholic Church can wrap its arm around someone who is pro-choice leaning. She said, although I would never have an abortion and I had, you know, trouble having kids myself, but I sympathize with a woman who is in a difficult position. And I'm an LGBTQ, you know, I mean, I'm a sympathizer. So she said, is the church big enough to accept someone like me? I don't I don't know if I would make a good Catholic. And actually listening to her, my heart broke because I thought, of course. My quick answer to her, Ken, and I wish you would address this further. My quick answer to her was that continue the process because maybe your heart will be open. Maybe God will give you insights that you don't have right now. So that was my quick little tidbit, was just be open to the possibilities. Now, how would you answer someone who said, I don't know if I'm going to make a good Catholic because this is where I stand right now?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things a person in a situation like that can hear is how glad we are that we're having this conversation and, and that they are present. And I think, you know, there's an old saying that God loves us enough to meet us where we are, and he loves us too much to let us stay there.
I like that.
So
that's good.
So wherever you are, God loves you because he's always loved you. You know? But he has a plan for you, and for all of us that involves growth, and sometimes growth involves a little bit of a struggle. But I think perseverance, you know, I think you said it well, you know that we're glad you're here. We hope you'll continue to be involved in the life of this community. You're going to hear a lot of things and learn a lot of things, just like we all continue to hear things and learn things. And, you know, I'm looking, the listeners can't see this, but there's a crucifix in the studio here. And I think the crucifix is a reminder to us that, you know, it's amazing that we've been around for 2,000 years, because one of our biggest messages is that you're going to have crosses, you know, join our community and you will have crosses to bear.
That's not a real strong recruiting statement.
No,
join us and suffer.
But it's a very healthy reminder that we all have crosses and struggles and
amen.
You know,
we do.
The Lord didn't spare himself that.
Okay. Let me slip in another one. Let's we'll see if we can get two more, but I'm going to try. What about limbo? This person says, when I grew up, we were taught about babies going to limbo. Where does the church stand? Do we still believe it exists?
So that's a great question. I would say that limbo for a long time was an unofficial way of reconciling at least two really important truths. On the one hand, we know that baptism is very important, right? On the other hand, we know that young babies especially sometimes will die before being guilty of personal sin, you know? So how do we reconcile the importance of baptism with God's mercy and God's justice? So limbo again for a long time was an unofficial, and actually I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but it was an unofficial way of reconciling those two realities. And the point of limbo would be that, you know, maybe there is a place or a state of being. It comes from the word that means hem, or sort of outer edge of a garment, you know.
Okay.
So maybe there's a state of being that is perfectly peaceful, perfectly happy, but is not in the presence of God. You know, that person is not enjoying the beatific vision, as we call it. And maybe that would be sort of God's way of dealing with these situations. But it was never an official teaching of the church, per se. The Catechism of the Catholic Church really, I would say leaves room for you know, several different faithful explanations of this. The Catechism basically says that, you know, baptism's really important because Jesus says so. As for those folks, for like a baby, for example, who might die without being baptized, you know, really we commend them to God's mercy. God will take care of that in His own way. So, but again, knowing how important baptism is. Again, to our listeners, I would say, you know, what might God be saying to you as you're listening to this? You know, who's that person in your life who maybe needs to hear a little bit about how important baptism is, or that they're welcome at your parish to pursue the sacrament of baptism?
Our guest today on Faith in Action, Ken O'Gorick. He's the Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese. And we're addressing questions that have come in over the last couple months through mail. And the way it's kind of feeling today, I think we could do this again, because we didn't get to nearly everything I wanted to.
And there's somebody listening today that's saying, gee, why don't they ask them about
this? So write it down and call us, because right, I'd love to have you back again in let's say, April, do this quarterly and pepper you with another couple questions. I have one more quickie here.
Sure.
Ken, what is one teaching that you think the average Joe or Josephina in the pew, we consistently misunderstand? What do we consistently get wrong and you wish that we would get it right?
I think it's the difference between judging a person and judging an action.
Because
people sometimes perceive the church as being judgmental, as if that were a negative thing. The fact is, on the one hand, as we were saying earlier, you know, none of us is in a position to judge the inner disposition of a person's heart or mind, but we can and should judge the actions that people choose to engage in. Okay, so I think that a lot of the sort of hot button issues or things that people get tied up in knots about. Sooner or later, the conversation does boil down to that. You know, who are you to judge? We're not supposed to judge. Well. Actually, we are supposed to judge decisions and actions, but we don't judge people. Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense, yeah. And I get that. And I think you're right. I think as you said, we can't judge a person's heart or motivations, but certainly their actions, because
absolutely.
Those are black and white, and those we can see.
Yeah.
Ken O'Gorick, Director of Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, we will have you back again. There are more questions.
Or someone better from my office.
No, no,
but,
no, no,
but, you
no,
know,
no,
we'll
no.
see.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.